Welcome to Podcast This Escape, the podcast where we talk about the escape room we escaped from in the previous episode of this podcast. Tom and David, congratulations. You did it, even if you never get to see the wizard battle at the end.
I'm leaving rooms open for sequels this season.
I thought you might be.
Congratulations. You did very well.
It suddenly took a turn for the violent at the end there.
I enjoyed at the start you were saying, oh, maybe it's better not to know about the fandoms. And I was sitting here going, you don't know which one it turns into. It's great.
Sweeney Todd room.
Ah, that was wonderful to watch. You had some blitzing through things that made me so happy and so worried, because especially like one of them we changed between playtest and now. So it was great that it worked. It worked exactly right. The mirror didn't initially say bupil for the liquid. Initially, I wasn't happy with it. It was just blood, the word blood. But that, when you reflect it and capitalize it, still basically just looks like the word blood.
Yeah.
So I knew that it wasn't working, and it took ages to think of a good substitute.
Because when you do it that way, the B becomes a D and the D becomes a B, so it just looks like an anagram of blood.
Yeah.
And I looked at it and went,
just
well, says that says, that says blood. That's pretty chill. And we went, so we had to try and think. We had a list of every letter that is still a letter when you reflect it. And we're like, is there an interesting word to make from these? Until Danny eventually went, liquid. Blood's a liquid, and so we figured out a way to do it. But it was very cool to
and
see you guys.
It worked exactly the way we'd hoped.
Yeah.
It was really nice.
Yeah, that was lovely. David, you saw that one very quickly. Like, wait,
I'm a huge fan of, there's a place in northeast England called Beamish Museum, and they have one of those old-fashioned printing presses with all of the boxes of metal type.
Oh, yeah?
And they still use them to produce, like, individually printed with machine posters and things to put up around the museum. And the story goes that the phrase mind your P's and Q's comes from these boxes, because the printers had to be especially careful with making sure that the B, D, P and Q didn't all get mixed up when they were putting them in the typefaces. So yeah, I love all of that era.
Yeah,
much more interesting than the Microsoft Word version 11 or whatever we're on now.
And then you immediately followed it up with knowing, ah, that magic Roomba, it sucked up those poster bits. We got to get them.
Yes.
So I made a reference to the Babelfish puzzle there, which I should now explain.
Please.
Which is the original text adventure version of Douglas Adams' Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which... it's standard text adventure, kind of like audio escape room, really. You're typing in commands in limited English text, and it is responding back with a description of what you're doing. It's a command line interface. And in an era where some of these games were meant to be tricky and some meant to be fun, and like the words user-friendly had kind of just been invented, the Hitchhiker's Guide game was designed to be user-mendacious. Like, it would actively lie to you.
Oh,
it was
excellent.
Designed that you would have to play it a dozen times to figure out how on earth to get through that puzzle. Because if, like, most notably, like, right at the end of the game, you need, like, seven or eight things to fix the starship engine. And it will randomly choose one of those to ask you for. Unless you don't have one of them, in which case it will always ask for that one.
Fabulous.
Like, all through, it is... It was designed as this really, really incredibly advanced difficulty game, and then sold like designed to be part of a really popular book. So it's just in a lot of people's memories, this nightmare of a game. The first puzzle that pretty much everyone just gives up on and throws the game away, myself included, because it's online, you can play it, is the Babelfish puzzle. It's the only puzzle that most people know from it. Which is the Babelfish is the translator. You need it to get through the next thing. It fits in your ear. There is a dispenser on this starship that dispenses Babelfishes. And you push the button, and one flies out and goes through a grate. So you block the grate. It flies out, bounces off that, and goes somewhere else. And there's just seven or eight levels to this puzzle, just increasingly difficult. But on your first playthrough... you do not have enough turns before you run out of time and something else happens. It is genuinely impossible to win the first time round. You have to lose
Excellent.
And skip through a few seconds. It will take some. So the minute you would, I forget what I made this in reference to. It was the tiny Roomba, wasn't it?
Yes. It was bunging up the void hole.
If you set up a thing where the Roomba flies out, and we try and cover it with this, but that's and then we try and catch it with it. Then eventually we've piled the 5-6 things required for the Rube Goldberg machine that is going to catch this Roomba. That's where I saw that going.
Oh, fantastic! I love all the stories of classic point and clicks or classic text-based adventures and the bizarre solutions that how did anybody ever think of it. Those are some of my favorite internet stories.
I was suspicious of the Roomba because of an episode of Jonathan Creek, spoiler alert, where one of the mysteries is, I think, somebody's ashes dies and then Jonathan Creek at the very end just goes, oh yeah, do you have a Roomba? And they went, yeah, oh, well, that's obviously what's happened. The Roomba's come along, cleaned up the ashes and gone back to its recharging point. But they do it in such a throwaway, oh, yeah, that wasn't really part of the main mystery kind of way. It really annoyed people. I think they were sort of slightly running out of steam at the end of that series. But
when you have to write a locked room mystery every week and it has to be increasingly difficult and... I suspect they did write themselves into a corner there.
We have some experience with this idea.
they were only coming out with a new one about every 6 or 12 months by that point. They were just doing specials. So, yeah. Get Danny on it, reboot it, be like...
that's it.
Massive... All right, I'll start watching it. I don't know why I haven't watched it.
No, it's always been on our radar as a show to pick up.
This hasn't happened.
But now we never will because it's got a bad Roomba in it. So it's not even worth it.
You spoiled it for us. Bad Roombas.
I think that was only a subsubsidiary mystery. So I don't think I've spoiled it that much. But yeah, if you're into escape room type things, that's definitely the Jonathan Creek series is worth checking out.
I'm annoyed with myself about the chairs and mirrors puzzle. Because
you were bordering on it the entire time.
I looked at those, like semicircles and lines, and thought, oh, that's the old put a mirror next to the thing of text, it'll reveal the whole word puzzle. Which you can normally work out without actually needing the mirror. And I just did not make the connection that we have mirrors. I was talking about a mirror puzzle. Yep. And I'm moving the physical mirrors. And I just did not put two and two together. Well done, David.
It's just one of those things where your brain, like, you had tried it once and it failed. It's like sometimes when you're doing puzzles, your brain goes into Wile E. Coyote mode where he'll do everything once and it fails and he'll never try again. He'll be like, no, that's now, I got to order something new from Acme. And it's the same sort of thing, where it's like, I've tried the reflection, doesn't work. Oh, wait, I have new information about chairs and mirrors, but I've tried reflection, it doesn't work. It's like, no, you've tried one, you know, but like you tick it off, it's like, that's not it. And it's always a really interesting thing to watch, like how people's brains work. And it's the same thing, like you get similar things when we're like listening or doing episodes of Lateral, where people will say a thing and then they'll lose it for a while. And then they start going like, oh, well, okay, no, but it's definitely not the moon. And you have to be like, are you sure?
There was never any confirmation on that.
I never said anything about the moon. It's just, you know, now you've got more information. Maybe it is the moon. Like, wait a minute, maybe it's the moon. Because people just go, that's wrong. And then they move on. You know, they create new parts of the puzzle in their head and then just assume that must be true.
OCD part of me was just worried where the first and sixth mirror had gone. That was mainly what I was worrying about. But yeah, the thing that I've never had to do on Lateral is do that thing of not avoid giving away too much information. And when I've been playing it around in my head, I realized how difficult it is. And you obviously all know how that can be difficult. We've never had anybody, I don't think, blurt out a clue that just sort of completely spoiled it. All of our guests have been very good at stepping around things like that.
The most difficult part to step around in this episode being when, Tom, you looked at those mirror glyphs and said, have we seen these symbols before? And we both went, no,
not really, but also, yeah, there's something. It is always an interesting one. The other one in this, like, I think the biggest thing in this room that held you up, which is great that something did, because I think in general,
I was getting worried.
Of you really just sort of
15 minutes in, I was worried.
Yeah, you were just being like, let's get this, let's solve this, was what in audio escape rooms is sort of like our version of a search failure, which is like recognizing two bits of language that are similar. And so it's the notice, and I think I had an advantage when I play tested this that I looked at the products and I heard, you know, the sorrowful reflection of a sad night, and this smells like the loving touch of a whatever, you know, these kind of weird... And I went straight from that to the magazine. So when I heard, and the smell of overwhelming reassurance of auburn hair, I was like, well, that's one of them. And so for me, that was like a really quick sort because of the timing. Like I heard one, then I heard the other. But for you, it was much more spaced out. And so it was really hard to kind of get that language connection of smelling a long and flowery description, especially because at that point you'd already used part of that... display, and so in your head as well, like it's common escape
room thing.
Products
could have been done. Yeah, like I tried to make the description of the products sort of like separated enough that it was clear
like
that multiple things could have gone on.
Stuff. But yeah, I definitely see why you got caught up.
If it's longer than three words, I ain't writing it down. my Sharpie hasn't got that much ink in it. So.
What would have happened if we'd have pushed the other recognizable buttons on the teleporter?
We had discussed that, and our basic conclusion was Bill is going to improv something, so it'll be fun, but you will also therefore be very well aware that it's not important.
Right, okay. Mm.
Although I was considering at that point using money help or boss help as clues because they were so explicitly could be tied to what you were trying to do. Like
that was initially why I made the word. I put the word help in
you know,
them.
You put the boss help.
You're
like, if you want to know more about the boss, why don't you look at the magazine about him? He's been interviewed. If you wanted money help, it's like, if you want to know how much things cost, why don't you look at the things on the shelves? They all have
their
money.
Did you have a scene ready for if we stood on the teleporter and pushed leave, which would have been a perfectly reasonable thing to do?
I do have those in my notes for things to do. I also have things for if you cut open a different pie. I have if you just pick up the pie and try to leave with it.
Well, Jenny, this is the time to go through them. What happens if you try and leave?
Yeah.
You go to Bettina's office and she says, what are you doing here? Go back,
no,
idiot.
Just straight up leaving. Yeah, it's a pretty boring one where I basically just try to...
Dissuade.
You know, do the R.L. Stine thing where it ridicules you into not leaving.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And
The wrong pie?
Yeah, what about wrong pie?
Wrong pie, where are you? Wrong pie. Great, here it goes. It creates a person and, yep, whoops, you've put a bit of a gash in his forehead. And he's been a pie for a bit longer. He's a bit going a bit wild. And he gives you some creepy wizard warnings. Be warned, not all of us take kindly to your type. Not everyone should be saved. Do what you came here to do and get out.
So that's then meant to be a do not just keep brute forcing the pies.
Exactly, that sort of thing.
Right.
And then if you try to leave with just the pie, well, the pie is sort of full of wizard blood. So you could also would have been true if you'd left with the eyedropper. It will like fully activate it because Bettina said she couldn't teleport in because it recognizes wizard blood and will alert Odd Ood. And so if that had happened, an alarm would have started sounding and you would have been under immense time pressure as it things
time pressure
locked down around you until you had a wizard's help to get you out.
Mm.
Yes, time pressure.
What I liked about the structure was that it genuinely felt like the pie puzzle was kind of like the end game, the final room, and sort of like we'd sort of gained access to the secret area. And as a lot of escape rooms do, they have a staggered sort of finale, and it definitely felt like that was the finale to this puzzle.
I'm glad, because there was also potential that you could have gone there and gone, oh my God, there's another room, and panicked.
Start describing another map. No, please.
I did reach for a second piece of paper at that point and think, uh-oh. But no, it was good that there was just one thing in there. Otherwise, that might have felt a bit too much.
Yeah. And it is semaphore, the absolute thing that I have never learned.
Yeah.
Really got to get on that.
I'm glad it didn't spell anything in semaphore.
Yeah.
I will say, I think I will probably actually have you change this out. And I'll probably edit the thing out of the episode. So this is now a fun little thing for people who are listening to this.
Oh,
thing,
yeah.
Which is, I think that fundamentally, the first thing you saw on that image when you finally looked at Samwise, you're like, oh, look, the lines on his cheeks match one of the pies. And they do. They very explicitly do match the pies.
Complete coincidence.
And I didn't notice that in the playthrough. And they shouldn't. They
Fine,
shouldn't
match
one of
the pies. Fine, I'll change that pie.
So I think I'll cut that whole bit out of the episode and we'll change it for the future. But if you're listening to this, there was an error in the end of the room, and he had an element of his face that looked exactly the same as one of the pie elements, and so we're going to get rid of it and make him so only the moustache could be part of a pie.
I'm fixing it right now.
been fixed as we speak. Because yeah, that when you saw that, I was like, oh damn, they're right. That does look like the pie.
Mini lateral question for you.
Oh yeah.
Why are there two different types of semaphore flags? Ooh. I think one set is red and yellow, and the other set is blue and white.
Are we just giving away a lateral question here?
Yeah, this is we're playing lateral now. All right, so one is for.
I just said I've never learned semaphore, ships. So I feel like I'm being bullied now.
One is for boats and one is for planes. And one you have to be able to pick it out against the sky when you're level in a boat, and the other you have to pick it out against the ground when you're above it in a plane.
I was thinking like maritime versus desert or something like that for colour schemes. Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, that's right. So ironically, the blue and white one, which you think might be the maritime one, they're actually the land ones, I think.
So it stands out.
Yeah. Stands out.
But if you're on a ship in front of a sky, the ocean, and a white sail, you'd just be flying, just your hands sticking in the air.
You can do just your hands, but yeah, I think that's when they use the red and the yellow one. Do check that, but I think that's the
reason. No. Oh, you can use my new phrase that I've developed in the last couple of days, which is, don't quote me on that until you've quoted somebody else. Which
we'll
I
leave that as an exercise for the listener.
Yeah, exactly. Well, right. Look, it was wonderful to have you on, and you blitzed through the room. It was fantastic. Is there anything else in the room we're going to cover? Any secrets that didn't get unfurled?
I think we're pretty good.
I am glad you finally went under the curtain, which was the first thing I did, and got turned around immediately. I went, oh, curtain. I like the rune. The rune puzzle I really liked. I love a thing where you have to piece something together out of its constituent parts. So being able to be like love, money, boss... I think it's really a lot of fun.
The only reason that I did not get boss in there is because it was a different W on the rune puzzle versus the very angular one, and my brain just went, that's an arse, and kind of derailed the entire thing there.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
That's fine.
We had a cursive boss rune and a sans serif boss rune, and I did not... read them as the same letters. I just read one as an arse.
We'll see if we edit the curvaceousness of one of them in post.
that's almost a
mean
edit.
Don't do that.
Because that makes it look like they couldn't see it at all.
No, that just makes me look like I'm seeing arses where there aren't any. You
oh, no, it's okay. I meant make the other one more curvaceous.
Yeah, we'll make the other one look more of an arse. Well, wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on. If people want to check out other stuff you're doing, if there's people listening to this who haven't yet gone and listened to Lateral, where can people find your stuff, all your either Lateral or any other new things you want to send people to?
I've said this at the end of 80-something episodes now.
Well, wait, Tom, this is your chance to make David say it.
Oh, yeah. David, off you go.
I haven't got my script. If you want to know more about this show, you can go to lateralcast.com.
No, it's not this show. I'm going to nitpick you. That's the wrong show.
But yeah, I'm doing it as if I'm you. Okay.
Well, you've got to be ready to duck and weave and change in the moment.
So if you want to know more about our main Thomas show, Lateral, you can go to lateralcast.com. There are also highlights on YouTube each week, as also on Instagram and Facebook, and lateralcast.com has also got all the transcripts and ways to contact the show as well. Also, if you want to know more about the other podcasts I do, TV Show and Tell, which goes all into the makings of the television industry, that is also available wherever you get your podcasts, TV Show and Tell.
Wonderful. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you, Danny, for running the room and writing it. It was great fun. Thank you also to Rita Orlov for the suggestion, Wizard's Barbershop.
We were talking a couple of episodes ago about hybridizing themes, and Wizard Barbershop got said, and I told them I was writing it down, and I did.
So that's now finally come to fruition after not very long. And thank you, everybody, for listening. If you want to help support the show, I mean, tell a friend, tell an enemy, tell anybody. Word of mouth is still the best way to get people to learn about new podcasts and listen to them. So go to a family gathering and then put on an episode and don't let anyone else change the channel and make them all listen. You can also support the show on Patreon if you want to donate to the show. Anyone who donates at any level can appear as an NPC in one of these rooms.
Yeah, so thank you so much to Bettina Vogel, Samwise Gamgee, Odd Ood, and Stitch and Stacey, Patreon donors from this room.
You were all picked specifically because you sounded like wizards. there's also a whole bunch of bonus stuff. Anyone at $5 at the $5 tier can get weekly bonus audio of all of the playtests that we do and a whole bunch of like 2-minute mysteries and other fun bonuses here and there.
We got quizzes.
There's quizzes for the $20 donors. We're reacting to escape rooms in pop culture and TV shows for our $10 donors every month. There's a whole bunch of crazy fun stuff. So check it out. We don't run ads on the show. It's the way that you can keep the show going and making money and doing cool stuff. And you're supporting us and you're supporting the whole community of people who get this for free because you're donating. So thank you so much, everyone who does donate. And that's it. That's the end of the episode. We're all done. Bye, everybody.